the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Listening to episode 90 of the Rant and Wrestling Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mr. Blue KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions. I'm here every episode. You're not going to miss me because I'm never going to go away. And that's another person that never goes away. He is the Tweener World Champion. Been here since day freaking one. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Doomsday, oh effing yeah.
Yeah. Day one, baby.
Thanks for coming, man. Thanks for coming.
Oh, let's get it.
We are going to do a two-man show today. Might keep it a little brief, you know. Just give you the whole wrestling rundown from this past week. Doomsday informed me that he didn't watch Raw.
Oh, hell no.
He didn't watch Raw. I do not watch Raw. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's 3 effing hours. I tried to, last Monday Night Raw, I fell asleep at hour 2. And no, Dolph Ziggler was not out there. So it's never going to catch my attention. A lot of people nowadays have not been watching Raw, or they're just sick of Raw in general. But they was doing this about like 5-6 years ago. Everybody was sick of Raw. And this, I'm talking about the years before the 3 hour thing. How long Raw's been on for 3 hours? About 3 years, 4 years?
Three, four years.
Yeah, and these are people complaining before the 3 year mark. But yeah, I believe the reason why you didn't watch Raw because you're not interested, or yeah, you had something else to do.
No, I really didn't. I really didn't care.
Right, right. And whose fault is that?
WWE's fault.
Uh-huh. Of course, it's their fault. They're not going to make you interested in any type of storyline. So while I was thinking about this, I was like, I just see a lot of people either looking at results, going on Twitter, finding out the results, and just not watching.
Yeah.
You know, you're saving yourself 3 hours, or people just not interested. And it's not because, oh, the star power isn't there. There were people that stopped watching when Cena was champion, when Randy Orton was champion. When Daniel Bryan was champion, I'm pretty sure people were watching then, but he got injured and they gave the title up and they just started losing interest in the WWE and are too lazy to find other wrestling promotions to watch, so they just stopped watching wrestling altogether. You know, and with WWE being the main sports entertainment company, don't want to get them too confused, them being the main company, and I'm starting to think they don't even care if people watch. Granted, the ratings drop, but they're not going anywhere. USA Network is not going to drop the WWE for no reason. They can go up to 4 hours, but they know they're not going to drop these guys. That's their main marquee, I believe. Their main thing on the USA Network, so they cannot just drop them, or else there would be no USA Network. You know, so WWE is not going anywhere, and I believe it's because of the lack of competition that this company has. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this 1,000 times, but people, it's like, I do not want to watch Raw because of how long it is. I would watch a CZW show that's 3 hours that I had no idea was going to be 3 hours, and for some reason still be invested. Maybe it's because it only comes on once a month, and you have to actually buy it to watch it. But it's way more wrestling than it is talking. WWE seems to do a lot of talking, especially in the beginning of the show. It's routine now.
And the problem with the talking is that they're talking, but they're not talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't do anything for you. Like, the storylines are shit. That's the problem. Like, if if it was an engaging storyline, fine. I don't get, like, have as much talking as you possibly can. Like, if the story is intriguing. But the fact of the matter is, it's not. And that's the biggest problem. So, yeah. And speaking of that, I don't know how this rumor started, but apparently they say Dewey Foley may possibly be signed on as part of the creative team for the WWE.
Now, are they adding him because they're replacing someone, or they're adding him just to stock up the people that's there already?
I guess stock up or whatever.
Oh, man. And it's like they need more people for what?
I don't know. Didn't they sign Jimmy Jacobs like months ago?
Yes, they did. And even when they added him, it was too many people in there.
Yeah. Because you haven't heard them release anybody.
Yeah. They don't release anybody. Now, I mean, granted, they probably do, but we don't know. Because we only can know about what they tell us. So.
Yeah.
But still, it's lame. It's lazy. They know they're not going anywhere. They're still going to sell out arenas. They're still going to have those, I don't think they do pay-per-view buys, but they're going to do ticket sales and merchandise. They have way more merchandise than they have now than when they were popular back in the Attitude Era.
But the merchandise is booty, though, these days. Have you seen the new Dean Ambrose shirt?
No, I haven't.
It was like a text message bubble with with some stupid ass like Dean Ambrose anarchy symbols and shit on it. It was the dumbest shirt I've ever seen. It was garbage.
And you know why they're making dumb shirts?
They make so many dumb shirts these days.
It's because they can make dumb shirts. And guess what? Normally with a company like a TNA made bad shirts. I keep forgetting they even have merchandise. But if Ring of Honor had bad shirts, you know, nobody gonna buy them.
You have to remember TNA is because they used to shill that shit like almost every week.
Well, I had to stop watching them altogether. That wasn't my fault neither. I gave them a chance. I at least gave them a chance. WWE does not deserve any chances, but I would watch their. I will watch NXT. Oh my god, I definitely will watch NXT. Not a problem, but it's the same company. Why are those two so damn different? Vince McMahon. And the only way, not trying to wish death on anybody, but the only way anything is going to change is if that man dies. Not a coma. He literally have to be off the face of this planet in order for this company to change. If he's in a coma, but let's say about 5 years, let's say. He finally wakes up after 5 years. This is just my brain is going. Comes after 5 years. Two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
Two things are either going to happen. One, the company is going to go down worse than it ever is before. The second is going to be better than once it was when Vince was there. It's not going to be where it's at right now. It's not, because Vince McMahon is not going to be there. I don't know who's going to take over, and right now I don't care. But it's going to change because he is not there. He's still running the show. He's still the be-all, end-all. You know, if they have a decision to talk about someone's dead brother who died over a heroin addiction, yeah, it has to go through him last. You know, he's not going to go backstage and be like, why did y'all put that on TV? No, because it has to go through him first, okay? And I don't think it's going to change.
But the funny thing is that it seems like they are trying to sort of help improve stuff, because like according to like PW Insider, like apparently WWE sent out some email. It said like I guess the quote is that WWE sent out an email blast to its WWE fan council yesterday, asking them to take a survey concerning the state of Raw. The email asked when a viewer actually watches the show, when they change the channel, and other questions. The company was curious if the respondent would change the channel during talking segments, backstage bits, recaps, etc. Raw has lost approximately 25% of its viewership since July. So it is kind of interesting that they are kind of like now kind of taking a survey to see where if they're going wrong. But I don't know if it's too little too late for them. I don't know. But we'll see.
Another little stat that I have off the top of my brain. Of course, I listened to Solomonster Sounds Off, and he had brought up a little good point. Last year's Survivor Series, after Dolph Ziggler won and Sting showed up,
yeah,
Monday Night Raw, I believe, had like 4 million, over like 4 million viewers.
Yeah.
And this year, after they had, you know, Sheamus win the title or something like that, Monday Night views went to, I believe, 2 million. So you've lost 2 million extra people.
In a year.
In a year. 365 days later, you lose 2 million people. To me, that's a problem. That's an issue that they need to solve. Or do they need to solve? They're not going anywhere. They're going to sell at WrestleMania because of the name itself.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, they'll sell. Like, the thing is that they will never, never not, like have packed shows. Never.
Never.
That's the thing. But their TV product is a big problem, like, through the screen. Like,
it's people like they're a glutton for punishment.
People will always show up for Raw, like, live. People always show up, for, like, in the stadiums, in the arenas, and the blah, blah, blah. People always show up for the pay-per-views. Always, always, always. But TV, just watching it, like, from home, that is a big problem, you know?
I understand people would love to go and watch their favorite wrestler, or just go to the event itself.
Yeah.
I get that. There's certain cities that go there to shit on the product just because. It's Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, I'm looking at you guys. Okay? Just because, and they have a right. Their company is not really good. Not good at all. Okay? So, and then you go to these boring places. But then again, the WWE, they ain't having no choice. I'm pretty sure they're going to go to every state in the U.S. And then they're going over to the U.K. sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? So, I get that. You know, in NXT, they have the same fans down there at Full Sail. You know, but when you go to Brooklyn and have a kick-ass show with new fans up there, maybe the same they travel to. I don't know. Well, you over there having a different kind of product, different kind of fans, different kind of building, and it's still a success. Might be even the biggest success they had so far. That's telling you something. The WWE doesn't care. They never did. And I'm going to keep saying it until they actually change. Or when Vince McMahon does. And now I'm starting to think that he's immortal because he's like 70-something. So you won't see any type of change anytime soon. Cena is not going heel. Please get over it. Now, Roman Reigns can. I think it's possible if he can go heel, fine. I'll take it. I'll take something different. And you know what I'm about to do? Right now, I'm about to just change the whole WWE. Right now, this is going to be my version of what WWE should be. Number one, you're not going to have the United States title and the Intercontinental title. I'm sorry, you're going to have to just choose one. Granted, it's a big company. Yeah, I get it. But only you guys that work hard and have good match quality and that can talk are going to be on my show.
See, the only way, but I feel, personally, I feel like the only way the U.S. and the Intercontinental titles would still work in the WWE, still be, like, two separate things is if both were defended on, like, one was defended on Raw, one was defended on SmackDown exclusively.
They have a bigger roster to do that.
They have the big roster, too. Yeah. I think one of the biggest problems, like, I hate to interrupt your whole spiel about, like, how you want to...
We can fix this, yo. You get your side, too.
But the thing is that they have a huge-ass roster. This is the same type of problem they had back in, like, what, 2001, when they had that influx of WCW and ECW guys.
Mm-hmm.
What they ended up doing, they did the brand split. Brand split worked perfectly for maybe from like 2000, I want to say 2002 to like 2006.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And that Ruthless Aggression era was dope. Like maybe 2006 to 2008, that's when it started like teetering down or whatever, like in that era or whatever. But like for a good, a solid good years, like they were, it was really, it was some great shit. And I feel like the brand split helped. They had great minds behind both sides. They had they had Bischoff. They had Bischoff for Raw, and they had Stephanie for SmackDown. And I think Paul Heyman was doing some creative stuff for SmackDown as well,
mm-hmm.
like behind the scenes. So it's just, it's just like a thing of like, use your resources. And the thing, because the biggest problem now with what they have for SmackDown, like these days, SmackDown comes off as a tester show for Raw. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we're going to test out this matchup for Raw the next week. That's what they've been doing. They've been doing recaps and tester matches, like feeler matches and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing truly not much developed storyline-wise in SmackDown, and that's a big, big problem for a show that's supposed to be the number two show out of, like, how many shows they have. What, they have Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, do they still have Superstars?
I think they do.
Yeah, Superstars, and they have five shows. They have in NXT. Well, NXT is like a whole beast. I wouldn't count it. But they have four shows, and to have your second show be like nothing but like a recap show for the most part, that's a big problem. Honestly, I would just split them up, have Raw whittled down back down to 2 hours. Like, improve the storylines, get some, like, I wouldn't say exactly revamp everything and do some kind of, like, reboot or something like that.
We don't have to do, like, a reboot. It's just in your mind, if you had WWE, how would you structure your company with all these shows? That's what I'm doing. You can keep the Superstars, you keep the main events. Actually, probably take one of them off. You don't really need main event and Superstars.
Just take off Superstars.
Like, what day did they even come on?
I don't even know. I think it's even web-based.
I don't fucking know. I don't know. See, that's the problem. We don't even know. Why have it? Just take it off. It's not hurting anyone. You're not using the people that you're not going to have on your main roster. See, and that's another thing. Like I said, like with the Intercontinental title and United States title, granted, I know they had a big company. It's possible to do it. I'm scared they do a brand split now because they don't even know how to do a freaking tournament right. Okay?
Oh, God.
They don't know how to do that at all. So I'm scared if they do a brand split. That was their only competition with themselves, with Raw versus SmackDown. That was their only competition once WCW and ECW left.
And that was a great competition.
That was fine. It was working.
Great competition.
It was working until stuff just started getting dumb.
Yeah.
You know, it just started to get really, really dumb. You know, so they combined the tag titles, which is fine. Because there's not a lot of tag teams any damn way.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for that. They can just go on both shows, you know. But for me, I'm not trying to be like no indie dude or anything like that. But you know how they have New Japan be like really, really serious and everything?
Yeah.
I think that these grown-ass men should be serious. Not everybody playing a game. Or you can keep New Day how they are. That's fine because you got fucking Bullet Club acting weird, you know. But you can keep them. But if you're going for the WWE title, or if you're going after John Cena's United States Championship, or Kevin Owens' Intercontinental title, or whatever, be serious. I'm talking about going backstage and you got people, you know, trying to get a word with them, almost like how they do with sports after they're done their After they've done a game, you know, they come back all dressed nicely and then they go answer like a Q&A, something like that. You know, it don't have to be long. You know, it can be like Roman Reigns coming after that. All right, Roman Reigns just lost to Sheamus. Okay, so your first thing that fans want to know is the thoughts of what Roman Reigns is going to do. Or what Roman Reigns is thinking now. So you're going to go into backstage. Roman Reigns is pretty pissed off. You know, yeah. He just went through, what, two matches, kind of three. You know, so he's exhausted. You know, his hair is in a man bun and whatnot. You know, and everybody's like, you know, he's sitting down with his bottle of water and he's frustrated. Everybody's asking him questions like, Roman Reigns, what was you going through your head when Sheamus came out? You know, and he could just go ahead and answer like that. And then Sheamus could probably walk out there, you know, with the cameras all flashing. He's holding a belt, you know, running his little mouth. And just a little tension between these two where you can actually want to see them fight. It's a competition. I like competition. I really, really do. So I think if they become serious, have actual competition, it could be a little bit better. People can take it a little bit more serious. You don't have to be this little kiddie stuff that they're doing now. These are grown-ass men. They want their paycheck. They're going to have to earn it by being taken seriously. Now, it might not work, but it's got to be better than what they're doing now. So people can go around, the fans can go around and be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm a fan of Sheamus. I want him to beat Roman Reigns because I'm a fan of that said wrestler. Or vice versa. I'm a fan of Roman Reigns. I want him to get his title back. Almost like how, you know, you got the Okada versus Tanahashi. Some people want Tanahashi to have the title, some people don't. They don't know. They can have a heel, have a face. It doesn't matter. You can still keep that concept. But they have to get serious. So then you can actually sit down and want to enjoy watching the main event of the show. For example, Jay Lethal, Jay Briscoe. For example, AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal. I want to see that. And another example, before he got injured, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. They could have just said, hey, I believe that I'm better than him and I'm going to prove it. And then Seth Rollins is going to be like, no way. There's no way you're better than me. I'm the champion since WrestleMania. I've pinned you at WrestleMania to get this. So what makes you think you're better than me? Well, we're just going to have to see Sunday. Done. You don't have to do no 30-minute promo with Triple H coming out. You don't have to, you know, just take it easy and be serious. That's all I would do. Just make it serious. Intercontinental title too. Kevin Owens is serious. He's a prize fighter. He's not going to let that title go away. Who's going up against him for the IC belt? What is it, Dean Ambrose or something like that? I think. I could be wrong.
Oh, Kevin Owens is, I think, the program with Kevin Owens is that he's going against Dean Ambrose. It's going to, it's going to be Dean Ambrose gunning for the Intercontinental title.
Okay, there we go. We'll use that as an example. So Dean Ambrose, he's like, you know, I haven't had a title since the United States Championship. That's my only title that I've had. You know, NXT, I never won no belt, you know. Yeah. And FCW, I think he won a belt. I'm not too sure. But he's like, yeah, I believe that I'm a champion. I believe I can beat Kevin Owens' fat ass, or something like that.
Well, you know? Jack Briscoe, like 15, the Briscoe 15 title, like belt, not even a belt. It was like a medal or some shit like that. Like it was a 15 minute Iron Man type belt or something, like medal or whatever.
Yeah.
Shit.
So something like that. Okay. So yeah, it could be competitive. Women, they're doing fine in NXT. Whatever they're doing there with a contract signing, how Samoa Joe did with Finn Balor, perfect. Go in there, sign the contract, leave. That man didn't even make eye contact with him. That's disrespectful as shit. No, you're going to fight me, damn it. You're going to make me earn that respect. You know?
See, I think the problem with the main roster is that it's not believable that people really, really want to go for these titles. They're really gunning for them. Like it doesn't. They're not making it believable that they really that it's important. You know, like there's any type of meaning to it. Like you're trying to go into this, and it almost feels like you're just reading off a script. Like, you have to really, really feel it, and, fans aren't feeling it. That's the problem, because the fans aren't feeling it because you're not perceiving it as something that needs to be felt, you know what I'm saying?
And it might be because that said wrestler is not being used.
Yeah.
And that the person that care is the one that's not even being used. The people that don't care are the ones that's being used. How ass backwards is that? Why work? You know, you might as well just do the whole, you know, JTG deal and just get a paycheck and just chill out.
Hell yeah.
You might as well, if you really don't care that much. I'm just saying, man, there's people that work hard that wants to be up there. You know, take them seriously. All the NXT guys you brought up that's supposed to change this roster, only two of them are doing it. Excluding the Shield members. I'm not even talking about them because they're a given. I'm talking about, in a way, Bray Wyatt, and in a way, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you want to say Bo Dallas Neville, sure, go right ahead if they're getting pinned in within 2 minutes of a fucking, you know, Survivor Series match or whatnot. Something like that. I think Neville was the only face that was pinned at Survivor Series. The only one. That guy. The longest reigning NXT champion.
But he was like one of the first out.
Yep.
Like that series. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Your future. Those were the future. But, I mean, granted, they could still get the time. They can still get the time later. Like for Becky Lynch, it could still be her time later. Right now, is the ladder is just too high right now. So, you know, she's just got to wait her turn. Because I know everybody wants Sasha Banks. You know, everybody wants that. I'm sure that she's going to get her chance. She's going to get her shot. I know she is. You know, but that's why people are scared to come up to the main roster. Will they be used? No. They might, depending on how Vince feels about them. That's the thing. Just because of how he feels about them. He doesn't... He hasn't given us... I'm going to keep saying he, because I believe he's the main issue. He is not giving us a reason to care about the Divas Division. To me, even if you give them 15 minutes, they're still the bathroom break of the WWE. Unfortunately. Because I know all those girls work hard. I know they do. We've seen them work hard. But in NXT, they can't, when they work hard in the main roster, it doesn't work. They tried to give them time. They did. Their matches might be good, but the fans don't care. The casual fans doesn't care. So why give up the effort to the Divas Division? They're a done deal. No, they just don't care. They just don't care. You know? So that's the main thing about it. They just don't give a shit. They don't. Tag team. What's the tag team that's out right now?
Lucha Dragons.
All right. And who else?
Usos.
And they just got back, too. So, yeah. And who else after them?
Primetime Players.
Good. Another one. Dudley
Boys.
You said who?
Dudley Boys.
Yeah, they are in there, too. So you got four teams already. You can do something with those four teams. I mean, you still got the Ascension and all that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But still, with those main four teams, you can have a solid tag team division depending on how you work things. The two bottom guys, the two bottom tag teams, are going to be number one contenders when one of them beats the other. You know, but they got to want to be tag team champions. And that company right now, who wants to be the tag team champions?
Who wants to be him?
Yes.
Usos and Lucha Dragons.
Okay, so you get that. You make the Usos face the Lucha Dragons. Primetime Players go up against the New Day. New Day beats the Primetime Players. You got two teams that want to be the tag team champions. They have a good, great match. And then they face the champions. So now the fans are probably going to be invested in the Lucha Dragons or said, the Usos, okay? The Usos. You know, one of those, and then they're going to face a tag team, and then it's going to make it even better. People are going to care. You know, all that hope they care. It depends on the wrestler to make sure the fans care. But they got to give the wrestler the time. You know, they don't have to talk for 30 minutes. They don't have to get their point across in 20 minutes. They can get it across in 3. They can get it across in 5. You know, all it takes for them is to be serious. That's all they got to do. This is the only company where you're going to get exposure everywhere. Take it serious. What would you do to change this company right now if you just had the keys?
I basically do the same thing I was just talking about earlier. Have like a different focus on like strength and SmackDown, basically. Have like some people like exclusive there. Have people exclusive to Raw. Cut down the bullshit on Raw, like, and all that shit like that.
You would do the brand split.
Yeah, I do the brand split. I do it. I definitely do it. I go for it. And then, honestly, yeah, just make it more meaningful that people are gunning for titles, period. It's few and far between where it feels like really, really meaningful that someone, obtained a title in the company, period. And that's something that definitely needs to be changed.
Right. Mofo Magic, you joined us today.
Uh-huh.
You are here. Welcome, man. You've been gone for like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone didn't call me this week. Dick.
Oh, no. No. We had to, you've been gone a while. So I just figured you just wasn't going to be here.
2 weeks ago, I got caught up in some stuff. Last week, it was just family. Like, I had to watch the kids, and, someone was like, and my wife was like, you can do the show, and, I couldn't do the show with the kids. Like, every 5 minutes they popped in. I actually popped into the show, 2 minutes last week, and literally my kids started screaming. I was like, I just can't do this.
We were talking about changing the WWE because people are not watching Raw. And I know you don't watch Raw, I don't believe. But if you had a chance to change the company to WWE because of people who are not watching or just losing fans altogether, what would you do to change it to make WWE better?
We've kind of had this conversation, and to me, I don't think there's anything they can do. I think at the point now with people, the wrestling business by chance is just one of those things that everybody's kind of sort of living with the fact that you either watch it or you don't. You either used to be a fan who watched it, now you watch it, momentarily, or you're a person who doesn't watch it at all. So I think the fans they have are the fans they're going to keep. I don't think turning it into NXT Part 2 is going to be hard. It's just, it's tough. I mean, they're oversaturated. They have too much TV, and at the same time of having too much TV, they have too much, they don't have enough people to, supplement that TV. So, it's crazy.
That's the thing. They have a big roster, though. That's the thing. They have a huge roster.
Yeah, they have this big roster, but,
it's surplus. They can work with.
Yeah, I guess it's just that the people they have, who's the next big star up there? And, that's becoming an issue now because if you think that who's the next big guy there, is it Roman Reigns or is it Dean Ambrose? I guess the thing is that it feels like there's nothing that they can do in the ways of, you gotta find a way to get people to actually care about the characters. And people don't care about the characters. Why should I care about any of these people? So they don't really give me a reason to. Why should I care about Cesaro or Kevin Owens or anything like that? It just feels like if the second I do, they're just going to do something with those guys anyway. I think one of the things people like about New Japan, wrestling fans like about it, is that the storytelling in there is so good. And this is now not no longer a wrestling show. It's a variety show that happens to have wrestling. And I think that's what pisses people off. So,
So you would dumb down the videos, not the videos, dumb down the shows a little bit. Instead of them having, let's say, about 5 to 6, you would bump it down to 4 to 5?
The thing is that the TV money is...
What would you need?
Yeah, the TV money is so important to them. One of the reasons why the thought process that TNA is going out of business was because of the TV money.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the TV money anymore, and with Spike and everything. So you got to listen to the TV. But at the same time, it's hard because you want it. They should go back down to 2 hours, but they can't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I think that's the funny thing. That's the simple answer that everybody's, oh, just go back down to 2 hours. Well, you can't. It's like almost as if you have a job and this job's paying you $1 million a year and the job tells you, well, you got to work 50 hours a week, and you come home and you tell your wife, I'm tired, we'll go back down to 40 hours a week. No, the contract I signed was for 50 hours a week. So that's not an option. What they have to do is they have to, mm-hmm. I think what they do is they need to take the roster and really define everyone's role. Like if I were in charge of WWE, one thing I would do is I would say they have a roster of 50 writers?
Probably 51. They just added another.
Yeah.
Possible.
Right. It's 50 writers with one man in charge. The thing is, that guy's opinion matters. One of the things that NXT has that's so good about it is that there's one guy running it. One guy does almost everything. He hires the guys, he gets the guys who he wants in there, and it makes such a big difference. And I think one of the things wrong with even the wrestling business, not just WWE, but like New Japan. New Japan's run by two guys. And those two guys run everything. Ring of Honor is really run by three people, and those three people run everything. I mean, give these guys, when you have that many hands in the cookie jar, tell them, hey, Jimmy Jacobs, I want you to handle all heels. I want this guy to handle all, you know, faces. I want this guy to handle all the women. I want this guy to handle all the tag teams. And they write the storyline specifically for that. Almost, and, you know, not to say that TNA did the smart thing, but I think one of the good things they did was Christy Hemme. You do the writing for the knockouts. That's it. You don't do anything else. Nobody else does the knockouts. You do the writing for the knockouts. So that way, it's kind of sort of, she can concentrate on one part of a 2-hour show. And you have a 3-hour show, break it down. Be like, hey, this group is going to handle hour one. This group is going to handle hour two. This group is going to handle hour three. And Vince is going to get the script and he's going to say, this is what works. But right now, I mean, you have a promoter writing a show that he doesn't want to write, and Vince McMahon doesn't like wrestling, and that's just, until that changes, that's just how it's going to be for a while.
Yeah, you're right. You said kind of both points of what me and Doomsday said earlier, but we were just trying to figure out, like, if we had the company, what we would do, you know, to get these people interested in watching.
If I had the company, what I would do is I would take all 50 writers, put them in a room, and I would say I have five divisions. I have a secondary champions division. I have, the talent doesn't need to know this. I have a secondary champs division. I have a new roster guy division. I have a Divas division. I have a, you know, main eventers division, legends division, and I would say a legends roster, current, divas, tag team, specialty. So my legends are my Undertaker, John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H, Brock Lesnar. Those are my part-timers. Those are the guys who are going to be, these are the marquee names. I'm getting a person who's trusted with them and saying, you're going to talk to them. You can't go in there, you can't get a rookie in there. Hey, this is, your job is to make sure whatever these guys want, they get. Then, you know, I want to have a division with my women. The women. You only, if they shit on the women, I'm seeing people shit on the women, your job's on the line. Tag teams. I want you to do what you need to do with tag teams. Come to me with ideas of new tag teams. Come to me ideas of tag teams from NXT, putting guys together, things like that. Then I got my current roster guys, my Cesaros, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, my guys basically 35 and under who can go out there every night and work 300 days a year. Then I have my new up-and-comers, my Nevilles, my Kevin Owens, those guys who are rookies, you know what I mean? And those are the guys who are going to be these are the guys who you tell me where their paths are going to go. You know, I want to hear an idea for Neville every week. What are we going to do with him? If he needs to go and you work directly with the current roster guy to see exactly where you guys need to be, because those, I need my future and my present all set up. So almost like you have your, almost like a baseball team or a football team. You have your guys who are making their money, the veterans, so you got to keep them happy. You got your rookie camp. You got the guys who've been in the league for 5-6 years and you know, you got to integrate them into the team almost like a minor league team. and make sure they come in. Then you got your specialty divisions, and you got your tag team division. And I think one of the things is that we're seeing a revolution where tag team wrestling is now important again. And people always say how it's, to me it's weird how people say it's harder to get two guys over than it is one guy. But the New Day, two of those guys got over a lot more than they ever would have by themselves. Big E and Xavier Woods, Kofi's been over before by himself, but those three together have basically went to extreme heights to where, you know, they have. And now you have every single part, and now it's a competition between these guys. Who can get the biggest reaction out of whom? And you give me your ideas, I'm going to start to format your, I'm going to format everything together, and, you know, I'm going to make sure that everything goes in a little line together. But that's how I would fix it, if I were me.
Good point. Would you try a brand split?
No.
No?
Why not?
No reason to. The roster right now is, the roster's big, but the roster's got no meat to it. You don't have enough of a, because you got to think about it. House shows do business.
Yeah.
So let's say, for instance, if you put, let's say you put on a brand split. Let's say you take, who are the top four guys in the company right now? As it stands right now today, if you were to watch Raw, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose,
Sheamus,
Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Those are your top four guys, your top two heels, your top two faces. Really, yeah. If you split those guys, now you only have one of those guys per show. And then you have your second tier guys like Kevin Owens. I mean, you really don't, you don't have enough talent there. You haven't built up enough talent. Now, hopefully, when you get to that point where you can get these guys over, you can put five, six guys on a show and everything and make it special. But you just, you don't have enough talent there. That's just, and that's on them. Because the thing is,
but if it was, okay, if it was maybe 2-3 months ago, when they still had a whole bunch of these,
before the injury plague,
that were still healthy, do you think that the brand split would have worked? Because they still had a good amount of dudes, like, not too long ago.
Here's why the brand split worked. The brand split happened in 2003.
Yeah,
Here's what happened when the brand split happened.
2002, yeah.
WCW was out of business within a year. So you literally had, here's what you had. You had Kevin Nash, Goldberg, DDP, Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, all those guys, Sting. I mean, even if they didn't come to WWE, Scott Steiner, all these guys making big money who were available to you and could be believable people that you could see. Now, you don't have that because for 10 years, you've basically saturated that market. The thing about that made the indies so great then was because there wasn't a place for Samoa Joe. There wasn't a place for CM Punk to go. There wasn't a place for Daniel Bryan, low key. Those guys had nowhere to go. They had to go on the indies because when WCW died, it left about 80 spots that wrestlers could have that were gone. 80 jobs with a major company that were gone. And those 80 jobs went over with a company that already had another 60 jobs. So you had 140 wrestlers who were literally, I can watch for these guys. Eddie Guerrero, the Canadian who shall not be named, Edge and Christian, the Hardys. All these guys were there. So the brand split was perfect then. Now, and I mean, it's their own doing. They burnt such a bad bridge between people. Brock Lesnar leaving. Brock Lesnar was 23 years old then. Kurt Angle was in his prime. And there's talent they could pick from the indies. But because they've let TNA get momentum, now they've crashed and burned, but they let TNA get momentum. Now, James Storm, Samoa Joe, those guys aren't 25 anymore. They're now 35. Yeah. You have, Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, you can pick Ring of Honor, but you're not going to get the same CM Punk, Brian Dale. And then from there, you got to conform them, those guys. Like, there's a rumor Red Dragon might be going to NXT. Well, now, if you put them in NXT, you got to teach Kyle O'Reilly how to work because Kyle O'Reilly can't do the same shit in Ring of Honor and WWE that he does in Ring of Honor. Then we got to wait 2 years for him to develop. And the thing is that Kevin Owens is really the anomaly for what everyone is, because Sami Zayn's been down there for 3 years and he hasn't come up in this. He's been seen but not heard. And
he would have been up if he wasn't injured.
Yeah, and the thing, like I said, it's their own fault. I mean, but the thing is that I don't think they can hold two shows, and I don't think, and because of the discrepancy between Raw and SmackDown nowadays, that they really, I mean, it's been about 10 years since SmackDown meant something. And hopefully when it goes on USA, it means something else. But the brand split was good, but it was good because they had such a big roster. Now a lot of those guys have, especially with those guys, I mean, Sami Callihan, I know you guys probably talked about it last week. Sami Callihan asked for his release. I mean, that's a guy who was a top tier indie wrestler.
I was going to talk more about that because he just made a statement a little bit ago about what specifically why he decided to peace out.
Right, and we're talking about top tier indie talent here. We're talking about Okada saying that he doesn't want to go. They got El Sabra, but I mean, Okada's not going to WWE anytime soon. Nakamura's not going to WWE anytime soon. Adam Cole still looks like he's not going. There's so many people getting on TV, and TNA basically, they've crashed and burned so much where unless you want to go into a 30 and over crowd, there's really no one there to grab and make headlines with. It's so much that I think they did it to themselves. I think they could have a brand split, but they've made it so that only four guys matter. John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H, The Undertaker. Outside of that, everybody else is interchangeable, and Brock Lesnar. Outside of that, everybody else is interchangeable. And because of that, they've dug their own grave.
Yeah. Yes, they did. They did dig their own grave, but they're not even in it. They just have it. And they're just looking at it like, one day, me and you, we're going to meet up.
Last week. Under 3 million viewers. That's insane. That's mean. That was like a 20-year low. That's insane.
Within a year.
Yeah, under 3.5, it's like, okay, people don't like wrestling. Under 3?
And football was there last year.
This is the equivalent.
I can't blame that.
Yeah, this is the equivalent. To give you an idea, on a much smaller scale, remember when TNA used to do a 1.5? They used to do 1.5 million viewers a week.
Yep.
And everything. And then all of a sudden, they started doing a million. People were like, oh, shit, they're in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
million people is what left watching Raw.
Uh-huh. A lot. A lot. And they can't blame no Monday Night Football or nothing like that, because that was around last year. And like I told Doomsday before you got on, Survivor Series last year, when Dolph Ziggler won and Sting came out, over 4 million viewers. And this year, after Survivor Series, after when Sheamus won the title from Roman Reigns, the viewers went down to 2 million. And that's after a year after that. So it's a big loss that they took.
Huge.
So they, like you said, they dug their own grave, but they're not landing it. They just keep digging it, make sure it's all even, all nice and flat and all that stuff, make sure the angles are cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to be landing it. They might as well put somebody else in there. Keep it warm for them. They're not going to lay because they're not going anywhere. They took a big hit with their the WWE Network thing. They were supposed to meet their quota of, I forgot how many subscribers they were supposed to have. Didn't make it. Vince McMahon took that big, huge hit, like a couple billion dollars a couple years ago.
It was 6 months. I think they were trying to meet a specific quota 6 months and it didn't happen.
Right.
But they eventually got to it and exceeded it within a year.
Right. And they're still there.
They bounced back. So they bounced back after it.
Just
after
not in the time that they thought it would be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So it just took them a while.
Yeah. So, and they're still around making money regardless. They don't have no competition. That's the big key. There's no one aiming to take them down. So, and then the last time they did, it was SmackDown versus Raw. And it was just going after each other. Which brand was better? You know? So now they don't have that. NXT ain't going up with no Raw. They don't even acknowledge each other. You know? They don't even have the NXT Women's title belt on Monday Night Raw. You think they're going to try to go up and try to say, hey, I think we're better than Raw? No. Probably are, but no. You know? So we can watch NXT and be happy.
Because it seems like they're doing everything right so far. You know, I never really, I mean, I probably had a gripe on NXT before, but I don't even remember. I could give you a couple reasons why we don't watch Raw and SmackDown, and if it happens on SmackDown, it didn't really happen.
Exactly.
it never really happened.
I remember, I saw this last week where, when the Dudleys were talking on Raw about SmackDown, and I think it was like the first time in years it felt like that someone acknowledged something that happened on SmackDown on Raw.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, like, they'll, I don't know, it's just, yeah, Tyler Breeze debuted on SmackDown. People probably saw him for the first time on Raw, didn't even know he came out. Don't nobody watch it, you know. But I mean, anything else we would change about the WWE? I don't. I mean, they already changed the logos, the belts, you know. Anything else? Pay per views, or well, we ain't supposed to call them pay per views anymore. I don't even know what we call it anymore. TV specials or network specials, whatever they try to corrupt people's minds to be. Of course, everybody's gonna be like, change divas. You know, to women, you know, you know, because they already got people brainwashed with the Divas division, not the women's division, but the Divas title changed to the women's title.
The Divas thing doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me either. I really don't care.
I think it's almost like the Knockouts thing. I mean, it's a brand name type thing. It's a branding thing. I mean, you know, just...
It doesn't bother me.
Just make it worthwhile. I mean, the thing is, I guess the problem is that, and I guess a lot of people have the problem with this, is that it feels like they just, if something gets over organically, they don't care. Like, that's what it feels, I guess that's the biggest problem with them, I think people have, is that it feels like if you, like a Cesaro section thing, yeah, they show it, but it's not like, that didn't make a fucking difference. Cesaro was going to do what Cesaro was going to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Poor guy. Got injured and stuff. And then I think another thing, I think, I can't remember, it was either Good Money Work or Solomon's, I can't remember, but he was like, yeah, they had high hopes for Cesaro a couple months ago, and he was like, wait a minute, who am I kidding? They're probably not even going to use this guy anyway when I think he's going to get a good push. He doesn't. You know, so might as well just put your hopes down, you know? Might as well. There's nothing really going to be different. They're going to bring him up and put him down because that's what they do. Fans are like them. Doesn't matter. They're going to do what they want. You know, people are still going to watch. Not a lot of people, but people are going to watch. You know, but I don't know. We can't change it. It's over. It's done. They got their grave. They're going to lay in it. We can't help TNA, right?
TNA is doing exactly what they need to do right now. Giving you a bunch of motherfuckers you never heard of before.
They're still on TV, right?
Well, they're going to Pop TV.
Oh,
former
right.
Home of Paragon. Yeah.
The only pop they'll ever get.
Yeah, I heard about that. That was kind of true.
When I heard that joke, that was so petty.
Because it's true. Alright, so you said you had something about the Callahan death machine.
Yeah, apparently Sammy Callahan basically said that the reason he... just peaced out was that, like, he looked at where he was at and he wasn't feeling it at all. Like, his character, he wasn't gaining any type of steam at all. He just felt that, like, yeah, he just wasn't going anywhere. So he said, all right, he asked for his release so he can improve on himself, try to be the best in the world, quote unquote, in the indies. And hopefully come back down the road in WWE. They said that he has had, he left on good terms with WWE. So when he does want to come back, he may have a spot open for him once he's finally done. And he feels like he's finally developed himself enough to actually like show up and actually really move forward in his career. So, that's interesting, to say the least. But, we'll see what he does in CZW and AAW and all that shit like that in the coming months and stuff. Yeah.
Think he goes to ROH?
It's possible. He's not signed to anyone, right?
I mean, yeah, he could. I don't know.
He could.
Good.
Because, I mean, I think he's only time I've actually seen him there was like a old TV taping, like ROH on HDNet type deal.
Yeah, HDNet. Yeah, he was on the first. I remember, because I remember I watched the first episode of HDNet and he was on there. Mm-hmm. I think he jobbed on that one.
You know, he's not signed to anyone. Gabe, DJ, not anyone. He's not signed. I'm pretty sure he's going to show up PWG somewhere in there. You know, I'm sure of it. But, yeah, if it was the time to get him now, if Ring of Honor gives a shit, grab him, go get him. Yeah. Might as well. He ain't doing shit else. But yeah, I mean, shit, might as well Final Battle. Fuck it.
Yo, when you heard about Final Battle. Hero. Have you guys heard about Final Battle?
Nah.
That apparently the main event might be messed up?
Oh, yeah, because AJ Styles, his back is fucked up. Yeah, and right.
Rumor has it that, I was talking to the black AJ Styles today, and he said, apparently rumor has it that, that apparently New Japan's not letting on how serious the injury is.
Yeah. Like, they were saying that there was no, like, major problems that they actually saw in his back. They just said that he's been in a lot of pain. Like, they haven't said what the specific problem is. I think, yeah, they've been holding it back. Because they would know. They would definitely know. But they're just saying that, oh, he's just in a lot of pain.
Yeah,
that's it.
They need to be a little bit more clear on that. Because I heard he was injured too, but I didn't hear how bad the injury was. Now, I keep hearing Tanahashi's always injured with his back.
Yeah, his back's fucked up too.
Yeah, and he's still going. So I don't know how bad AJ's, you know, back is. And if it messes up their main event, this could be trouble. Because who else are they going to have? I guess you can have Elgin.
Or Adam Cole, I guess.
You know, because Elgin won the Survivor of the Fittest. You know, but he's talking about doing his match at the New Japan show.
I would probably move Adam Cole to the main event then. I don't know.
Adam Cole has a pretty big match.
Yeah, like he's already
facing Kyle O'Reilly.
Right. You know, so
could move that to a triple threat? Mm. I mean,
and it's all because we don't know the big injury on his back yet. We don't know if he's even out. We don't know if he's still going to go. Mind you, Final Battle was in 2 weeks?
2 weeks from Friday.
Yeah, you know, so on the 18th.
Are there still tickets to that? Are there still tickets to that?
Are we still going to that? We're still going to that, right?
You're still going because you're taking my ticket, actually. Julian has a football game down in Richmond. I won't be able to make it.
Ooh, Virginia.
Really?
Playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah,
playoffs. Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, if there's still tickets, like I actually have money now. I could actually buy it.
Last I heard, there were like 100 tickets left.
Really?
So I don't know if it's sold out or not. And you might be able to even find like a Craigslist, and might be able to find if somebody's selling like a GA ticket or something like that.
Yeah, because like I checked, what was it, 2 weeks ago? But that was 2 weeks ago, and they were still open. So I don't know.
Damn, man. It's always something. When Final Battle comes
sure
around, it's always something.
By the way, you got to make sure, because I'm going to be gone on the 18th, so make sure you go get your ticket before the 18th.
Okay. Damn. You know, it's like this is like around Final Battle time. You can't either watch the show right away, or you just can't go.
This year, I was planning on going. It was in Philly. It was at the ECW Arena.
Right.
I had the tickets bought. I was planning on going. And damn it, if it didn't happen on the weekend, I was planning on going.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of playoffs, congratulations on that Ravens win against the Cleveland Effing Browns. Because I did not see that coming, they didn't either.
Yo, the reactions were great.
Oh, my gosh. It just was like, okay, the kicker on the Browns hasn't missed a field goal all season. He's 18-18. Probably the most positive thing on the Browns this year. And you think it's the 51-yard field goal. It's a slim chance that he could miss it. But they block the field goal. And they take it all the way back on some video game stuff. Take it all the way back for a touchdown. The game's over. The Browns. And I'm sorry for the guys that lost
on their fantasy game that had the Ravens defense and they probably lost by like a point or so, you know, thanks to their special teams getting a touchdown on a block punt. I don't know. A block field goal. I don't know how they did it. Some people were happy about it. Some people weren't because the Ravens want to get a high draft pick. And they was like, man, we should have lost that game. We need some high draft picks. Mind you, you're going to probably lose a couple more. You know, and they broke that man's collarbone, Josh McCown. They lost.
Yeah, they fucked him up.
Yeah, you know, so he's in the same bed as Romo with a broken collarbone. yeah, I mean, y'all won.
Has anybody seen the video of the guy doing the videotaping the Browns and all the fans? Yeah, and everything.
Oh no! What
the guy ripped his shirt.
Did them Duke ripped his jersey like straight off his back, like straight ripped it off? Crazy.
He didn't do that at the last game the Browns had. That was the last straw. Mm-hmm. Wow! And like I'm reading tweets all over this place, you know. And one dude, I think they was like, you know, the organization. I don't know basketball though, so they were like, you know, hey, the Browns are a bad organization, but it could be worse. You could be the Kings. And I was like, oh, are the Kings like a bad basketball team or what? I don't know how they are. But I heard that the Kings are pretty unkept in the NBA world. So, yeah, it could be worse. But the Browns?
Could be the 76ers. The 76ers like started, what, 0-16 or something?
Yeah, I think they had the longest losing streak.
No, they were 0-18. I think they were 0-18 or even 0-17 or 0-18 before they beat the Lakers.
The Lakers. The last time Kobe's going to be there, they beat him.
Kobe
is retiring.
There's a dude who is at my former job. Actually, that was my news. Lost my job last week. Long story short. But the thing is, yeah. I'm with the, I'm on the level of the unemployed now. So.
Son of a beast thing.
You're with me. I'm unemployed right now.
You too?
I'm in between jobs, all right? I'm a temp, basically.
Yeah. I hope it's not a bug going around.
I got lucky because it's seasonal. And with the season that we're in, there's a couple places doing, like, stock and stuff like that. So I was able to find a job pretty easy up this way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there's a place up near where my school used to be. Where I went to high school that they were hiring, so, and they got to me pretty quickly, but still, yeah, it sucks.
I'm sorry, man. I don't wish that on anyone to lose their job. That shit sucks.
Ugh. Yeah, not for, so, but c'est la vie. So anyway, well, as I was saying, the kind of sucks for Browns fans.
Oh yeah, I mean, but they've been asked for years. Like, the Raiders are just now having a team that looks like they can win games. Same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They actually look like they can win games, too, but they just don't. How did y'all fantasy games go? Because I lost, and I think I did pretty damn well. I actually hit 100 points this week, finally.
I lost, and there's a guy in my league who literally has not lost the game yet this year. He's been the Carolina Panthers.
How?
He's 11 and up.
In fantasy, that's luck. I'm sorry, that is luck.
He's the guy who traded the day before. He traded me after the first week. He traded me Demaryius Thomas. I traded Demaryius Thomas and Andy Dalton for Tony Romo and Pierre Garçon.
Oh no! And I have Garçon, so I know.
And Andy Dalton proceeded to go the hell off the sheet.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, he doesn't throw to A.J. Green that much. He about time to get that shit this week. Keep throwing it to the damn tight end.
Yeah, Tyler Eifert.
Yeah. Well, I don't have, unfortunately. But I'm in the... Honestly, this is the last week. The person I'm playing finally got a win last week. He's 1-11. I'm in the playoffs. We only have 1 week left. This is the week.
Playoffs.
I'm 8-4. Rank? I think I'm ranked number 3. Yeah, I'm third rank. So, my division sucks.
because everyone's like five wins and down. So yeah. I'm in. I'm basically in. They can't get seven wins. They won't make it. You know, they won't make it. But at first round bye, does sound pretty nice. That'll be a less stressful week I have to worry about. What about you, Doomsday?
Me, yeah, I'm 3-9 on one of mine. So, there's no chance in hell for me on that one. But on my other one, I am 8-4. I just lost this week to my younger brother. Pissed me off.
Oh, you lost to him.
We both had the same record of 8-3. We both had the same record of 8-3. And you know what? One of the things that killed me, I didn't play Matt Stafford, and that went off. I was so pissed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one dude at my job, he didn't start Calvin Johnson on Thanksgiving. And you know that man goes crazy.
I didn't start Stafford.
Oh,
and that
man.
Just went off.
Dude, like, Calvin Johnson on Thanksgiving is a must start. He's been inconsistent all year because Detroit was being ass.
Yeah.
But still.
That's why I didn't start Stafford.
And you have all the right to. But on Thanksgiving Day, you know Detroit always plays Thanksgiving. And Calvin Johnson goes dumb every game, every turkey day. I would have never had him on my bench. That's what I'm saying. You know, so, I mean, like I said, I'm in the playoffs. That loss I got this week, last week didn't matter. If I lose this week, it doesn't matter. I'm still in. And hopefully my players will get over 100 points. Keep throwing it to AJ Green. Please. Please. I need this. I need this. Because every year I complain. Every year. So, I need this. If I can get a first round bye, I'll be fine. Me making the playoffs is already a plus. You know, I don't have to bite my nails. I'm already in because my division sucks. So, yeah. Mofo, you're in the playoffs, right?
I don't know. This is our last week, and this will determine if we're in the playoffs or not. Right now, great. I'm on the outside looking in, but, you know, that could change tomorrow. That could change this week. So, I got my fingers crossed. Derek Carr finally got back to being Derek Carr for me this week, so.
Oh, yeah. That'll work. Yeah. I still got Mariota.
But I had Justin Forsett. I made a trade for Justin Forsett. He had a broken arm.
Yeah.
And I wound up not playing CJ Anderson. And CJ Anderson decided to then, for the first time this year, run for over 100 yards.
Against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know. Okay. Right, you didn't know. How could you know that was going to happen? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have known that shit.
And the thing is, if I'd started C.J. Anderson, I would have won. But
yeah, if they would have thrown it to Barnage in the end zone instead of Travis Benjamin on that Browns game, I would have won. Because Barnage got 93 yards. If he just got with the end zone, I would have won the game. But it's fine. I'm not really stressing over it. But yeah, any more football talk or any wrestling talk? We can get back on wrestling, I guess. The World Tag League. Doomsday, do you have that?
Yes. The World Tag League. I'm just gonna go down the standings. For Block A, you got the Great Bash Heel of Toji Makabe and Tomoaki Hanma. At 6 points, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Michael Elgin also have 6 points. The Addiction also have the Addiction have 4 points. Okada and Yoshihashi 4 points. Nakanishi and Nagata 4 points. Yano and Sakuraba 2 points. Bad Luck Fale and Tama Tonga 0 points. Block B. Evil and Naito have 6 points. Goto and Shibata, 6 points. Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, 4 points. Kojima and Tenzan, 4 points. Nakamura and Ishii, 4 points. AJ Styles and Takahashi, 2 points. Matt Taven and Michael Bennett, 0 points. Yeah, that's the standings for New Japan World Tag League as of November 30th. So, yeah, looks like, so far it looks like the Elgin Tanahashi team, Naito Evil, Shibata, Goto, Great Bash Heel, those are the four teams that are probably going to go to semis or so. But speaking of one of the semi teams, you got Hanma, who's made the news, the internet news in the past few days. Apparently, with him, they had, with him, basically, his girlfriend, who also happens to be a Joshi Puro wrestler, she has accused him of abusing her, beating her arms and legs and stuff like that, pushing her around. Like, I think when she would confront him about, like, flirtatious stuff with other women or something like that, and, like, I don't know. That was a big thing, and now he's come forward and say, like, no, that's not true. All that stuff with her arms and legs, that's her bumping into stuff and all this other crazy stuff. Like,
sure it is.
And he's saying that she's the one who actually abuses him. Basically, it's a whole big he said, she said thing, and it's just nasty. But yeah, people definitely started turning against Hanma, who has been very beloved in New Japan in the past, like, few years, even though he's had basically the worst win-loss record of anybody in the company, besides Captain New Japan and maybe Yoshihashi or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those tricky situations because you don't know, but it just doesn't look good for him at all.
Yes. Getting caught up.
Yep.
So, let me see here. The cards for the weekend, not that many. I'm going to just go ahead and say about three. And on here is the set list. All these shows are going to be on Saturday on the 5th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. This one is going to be Ring of Honor. This is going to be in Fort Lauderdale. And it is the road to Final Battle, y'all. This is the last show before Final Battle. So the matches that they have here, this is just a filler show. Mark Briscoe versus Will Ferrara. The Four Corner Survival match between Rhett Titus, Moose, Cheeseburger, and Dalton Castle. They just playing up anybody on here. Kenny King going up against Adam Cole, baby. I don't think I've ever seen a match like guys before. ACH going up against Bobby Fish. That should be good. Matt Sydal versus Jay Briscoe. That should be another one. Now the new Ring of Honor World Television Champion Roderick Strong, who beat the longest champion in wrestling at the time, Jay Lethal. Good match on TV if y'all ever get a chance to watch it. Get a good look at Jay Lethal versus Roderick Strong, the TV title. And Roderick Strong.
Ring of Honor website.
Is it on the website now?
Yeah. A lot of Ring of Honor's TV. If you missed their TV, you can get them on the web. You can get them on the website. It is free also. Yeah. I think some of the older episodes are archived. You have to be a Ringside member, but
yeah,
stuff you can get for free.
Yeah. So if y'all listening today, go watch it now. Really good match. And what Roger Strong is doing is basically doing the John Cena thing. He's doing an open challenge for his television championship, and the first challenger is going to be Delirious. So he is going to get a television title shot against Roderick Strong. And, you know, I mean, hey, it could be good. You know, he can work, man, when he wanna. And Roderick Strong cannot do no wrong because he's Roderick Strong. He's having a good year so far. I mean, well, the year's almost over. He had a fantastic year. And before people say, oh, Ring of Honor's copying guys with the open challenge thing, please, okay, let's just stop it right there. They ain't copying
also,
shit.
Yeah, because this is like the fourth time Ring of Honor has done this.
Mm-hmm.
They do this shit all the time.
Right.
They always do open challenges, and Eddie Edwards had the 15-minute challenge when he was TV champion. Like, this is not normal. This
mm-hmm.
is normal.
Yeah, this is not a problem. And with Roderick Strong doing open challenges, fine. And how they're doing it a little bit different, they're doing an open challenge, and he's not going to go to the show and be like, hey, I'm doing an open challenge. He did an open challenge on YouTube. Delirious came out of nowhere. They set up a date for their match. Then they just did it. You know, that'll work. And I don't mind seeing the open challenge with Roderick Strong. So, hey, keep this going for as long as you can. And I believe this is going to be the main event for this show. Donovan Dijak, 44, that's me, baby, and Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor World Champion, will be in a tag team match against Nick and Mac Jackson, the motherfreaking
Young Bucks,
representing the Bullet Club.
Speaking of Ring of Honor, I have just purchased my ticket to Final Battle. And I purchased one of the last few tickets near the entrance. $50 a pop. Baller.
And he is going.
I am going to Final Battle.
Wow.
With you as my ride, of course.
Yeah, of course. How else would you travel across America?
I got gas money.
Oh, man.
Why don't you guys pick up Gabe? Sure. He's on the way. Believe it or not, he's actually on the way.
It don't matter to me. Remind me. I do forget. The Dreamwave show, they have this is the last show this year. This is the fight before Christmas, because it is December 5th. Team Overkill will defend their tag team titles, even though the partners are not even partners. The Dreamwave Championship, Marche Rocket going up against Zara. What's that girl's name?
Zara Schreiber.
Yes, her. She is going to pick one of her group members from Six Deep. Not 6 feet deep, six deep. The next match they have is Prince Mustafa Ali going up against Matt Cage, my client. And this is grudge match, 4 months in the making. Eric Cannon going up against Darren Corbin. Team Tremendous going up against Roppongi Vice. And the WWE legend, the former tag team champion, Road Warrior Animal, will be in the Heezy. Oh, Sheezy. Where'd they find that dude? I don't know. And I'm pretty sure he has the Mohawk with him. He never lets that thing go. Just in case for certain situations like these. Now, on to AIW, who is
Before we go there, I want to bet you something. I just went on the YouTube page for Ring of Honor. I thought you might be able to get the matches there. You cannot. However, Mandy Leone is giving tips on how to...
touring?
No. No, how to test for breast cancer.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Use that information whatever you will.
Who better? You know, who better? So, AIW, they're moving out of Cleveland for just one night. This show, for one night only, their show is going to be in Brooklyn. It is called No Sleep Till Brooklyn. This is their show that they're having at the Martin Luther Church in Brooklyn somewhere.
That actually does not sound safe at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. Is it MLK?
Hold on. No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
mind you,
guess where we were? Remember where William J. Myers is? Brooklyn, Maryland.
Brooklyn, Maryland. Yeah.
And you know how hood that place is.
God damn it. It's so unsanitary. You got to work. I actually
ended up walking through there, and I saw one of those like little memorial things. You know how when dudes get shot or stabbed and die and shit?
Oh, man.
So I saw one of them shits. I was like, yep, I'm in the wrong neighborhood.
the last remains of a chalk outline and shit. Like, okay, this is recent. This either happened earlier today or like a couple hours ago.
Hey, does anybody recognize that Roderick Strong kind of looks like Jason Lee from Alvin and the Chipmunks?
What? Kinda. How did you find that?
I'm watching YouTube and watching Roderick Strong now. How Jason Lee looks in the Alvin and the Chipmunks when he's David Seville. Roderick Strong looks like David Seville.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let me get this card out. No Sleep Till Brooklyn. This is M-Dog 20, Matt Cross going up against Alex Daniels. The rookie Frankie Flynn going up against Cliff Compton. They keep forcing this guy, Cliff Compton. A match that I'm never going to watch in my entire life. Grotto going up against Tracy Smothers, goddammit. Your boy, Colt Cabana, is going up against Key Kutaro. I've seen him before.
Reasons for me to not watch this show?
Oh, yeah. No one's watching this show. In the only match that I have left, the six-way scramble, Eric Ryan versus a guy named Big Mo versus Jerry, everybody loves him, versus Rex Brody, Marion Fontaine, and some guy called the Space Monkey. Oh, Indy. They just don't care. That's the shows for the weekend. Mofo, do you have your, or would you like to do your top WrestleMania matches of whatnot?
I don't have a list this week for WrestleMania matches, actually. I should have, but I'm not even going to lie to you. I got distracted by video games.
It's all right, man. It happens. Five-star wrestling.
I'll try to start next week. Wait. I do have a list.
Good.
2 weeks ago, I wanted to do the top five Undertaker matches. So I still have that. I was trying to save it for either the last, as one of my last list, or the... Because of the 25th anniversary, but so for the 25th anniversary, I actually wanted to do the top five Undertaker matches of all time. Real quick for you guys, real simple. I cheated. So there's going to be two matches with the same person on here. Undertaker, of course, at WrestleMania is 21-1, is pretty much the icon of WrestleMania and probably the greatest superstar in history of WrestleMania. 21 out of 22 wins. So, has a lot of duds in there. But, it has some good matches. Number five, Undertaker versus Ric Flair. WrestleMania 17, I believe that is. No, WrestleMania 18. WrestleMania 18 with Arn Anderson busting up the Spine Buster. Number four, WrestleMania 27. I'm getting this wrong. WrestleMania 28, Hell in the Cell. Undertaker versus Triple H. WrestleMania 26, Career versus Streak, which I actually thought was the worst of, I guess because I had the outcome before seeing it. So I actually thought that wasn't as good as a match as the first one. Number two, WrestleMania 27. I forgot the WrestleMania, but CM Punk versus Undertaker.
29.
And last but not least, of course, as everyone knows, my favorite WrestleMania match of all time, one of my favorite matches of all time, WrestleMania 25, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, first time in about 8 years, but yeah. I just love the chemistry together. So those are my top five Undertaker matches of WrestleMania history.
Alright, you don't ever go first. Fuck that. I'll do it then. The match, the Ric Flair Undertaker match, never gets talked about. I really like that match. I like the whole card, honestly. But that was another really good match with Ric Flair always getting bloodied up. Always. But still, it made a really good match. Spinebuster from R. Anderson. Just got to know it. We just don't see that happen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, really good match. And this was Biker Taker. You know?
Yeah, the Red Devil.
Yeah, and I think that was when Undertaker was beating up Ric Flair's son, David Flair.
Yes.
I think this was around that time. Yeah, and I think he was beating him up, and he was like, dude, what are you doing? And Undertaker's looking at him like, I'm whooping your ass. That's what I'm doing, you know? That's what I'm doing. I'm beating you up. Because this is around when Undertaker was talking mad shit, you know? The other matches, of course, you know, you need to know to explain. But Triple H against The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell, I don't care what anyone says, because he definitely shouldn't lose the streak, but this man kicked out of Sweet Chin Music and a Pedigree simultaneously. And he kicked out. That's impossible. Knowing how lethal the Pedigree is, not a lot of people kick out of that thing.
Not a lot. You're going to get super kicked and a pedigree and still kick out of two? Who the hell do you think you are? No, you don't do that. No effing way. That should have ended the streak. That should end anyone. Cena wouldn't have kicked out of that.
Even though one of my favorite Survivor Series moments is the DX versus Cena's match. Where the bell rings and Shawn Michaels just kicks the shit out of Triple H.
Yeah. To set the bar, you know. Sets the bar. The other match goes what I was saying. WrestleMania 27, that was okay. It was fine. But I liked their match better at 17. That was my favorite Triple H Undertaker match at WrestleMania. And of course, WrestleMania 25 was one of the best matches ever. You know, you didn't know it was going to be that good, but it was still, pretty great. I enjoyed it. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on the top Undertaker matches? You don't, do you? That's fine. But I don't know. I don't know where Doomsday went, Momo.
I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know where Doomsday went. But.
Oh, my bad. My bad, dude. My mic was off. Yo, yeah, but for real, yeah, my favorite one was the first Undertaker, Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. Yeah, I love that one, but I don't know. It's either between that one and that Raw one between him, between Undertaker and Jeff Hart. The WrestleMania one definitely, the WrestleMania 25 one for Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, definitely my favorite one.
All right, I guess the Empire started already, or is that 10 o'clock?
Yeah, that started already. It's whatever.
Damn, I'm sorry, we had to run a little past time. But wait, Mofo, did you go AFK? No one says AFK.
Hold on.
Oh, right, he's with Child. Okay, 5-star wrestlers, really, really quick. Let me see. I'm gonna choose actually this list that I actually got from this guy from maybe like today. Cause I'm saving one of the lists to like the best for last, who are like a big ass group cause they're top tier. But this one's like super indie. This is by a guy named Kud Lucas. That's KUD-Lucas. And he's on Tumblr. So follow this cool dude. And the names that he has, and Doomsday, you have to go first since he's with Chubb. Like I said, it's super indie. So the first name that he has here is Mark Haskins. And I forgot what this guy even looked like. You never heard of Mark Haskins?
Oh.
I did. I heard of him, but I cannot even remember, like, what he even looked like. I swear I heard his name before. Was he in TNA before?
I have no idea who that guy is. I'm going to get the front.
What? I know. Wait. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find out who this guy is. Mofo, you haven't heard of Mark Haskins, have you? I don't think.
No, he can't. I don't even know if he's even paying attention. But yeah, apparently he was in TNA for a little while.
Oh wait, no, Mark Haskins was he was in PWG, right?
No, he was in TNA for a while.
Yeah, guess why? He's from England. Because I was like, I know I heard of him somewhere, but I don't know where. He said he was in Dragon Gate before.
I ain't even remember him in Dragon Gate.
Oh my goodness, I don't know this guy. Okay, well, we'll just, hopefully we'll learn about this guy. Evil Jesus, his name. Okay.
Oh, he was in Dragon Gate around the time that I wasn't watching wrestling as much. Because, like, yeah, between, like, 2009 and, like, 2011, I wasn't even, like, I was barely focused on that shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, the next name that he chose here, I'm pretty sure you know this guy. The first ever Ring of Honor champion, Low-Ki. We know this guy, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, good.
Kick. Snarl. Punch. Snarl. Kick. Snarl. Kick. 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 Snarl.
That's him, and that was the toughest shit I've seen in a while. This guy was super serious. I love serious wrestlers. Like, they, and I like weird wrestlers too, but he was just serious, and his kicks was brutal, and you could see his face, and his voice was really, really deep for a guy that small. You know, I don't know if it's the accent of Brooklyn or something. I don't know. This guy was a savage, literally. Before there was a real savage, there was a low key. All his matches from 2002 were really, really good in Ring of Honor. Like, top tier match of the year contenders. And then he went to TNA. That's when I first saw him, actually. I first saw him in TNA because he was with Triple X with Christopher Daniels and Ilik Skipper. And they were tag team champions over there.
Oh, that was when he was Senshi.
No, he was low key, and then he turned into Senshi.
Right.
He turned into Senshi 2000, like, 6, 7, somewhere in there. And I don't know why he changed his name, but, I mean, yeah. We all know him. I think he came back, like, a couple of years, what, either this year or last year as low-key. So, I don't know, Senshi was a phase or what.
I think it was early last year, probably.
Because he was at that Destination X little
deal. Yeah, I remember his match against Samoa Joe. Like, it was one of his first few matches back in TNA, and that was actually a pretty dope match. That was probably one of the only, like, really dope matches Samoa Joe had in, like, in the past few years. So yeah. I guess that was, like, the start of him kind of getting, like, reinvigorated.
Before he was wearing the whole bodysuit now. Like, yeah. Before he wasn't wearing the bodysuit, he was just wearing, you know, hooping shorts and kick pads and was ready, you know. Yeah, he was really, really good. Their first Ring of Honor champion, had X Division champion. He was really, really good. Mofo, your thoughts on Caval, a.k.a. Low-Key? Because,
I mean, Low-Key to me was always a guy who I was just, I mean, for the time frame of what he did, it was really awesome. Like, he was the first guy who was like, oh, shit, I think he's hurting them, you know? And I think that a lot of people took that as, you know, him being too dangerous and everything. But he was really good, especially, you know, he was at one time the top of the fucking indies. Mm. So, and the thing is that it's just, he's one of those guys who, I guess, TNA just never really built around him. And when they got a chance to, it was too late. So, I mean, to be honest, I like his second TNA run better with the fucking surfer bodysuit. It was actually pretty cool. It was cool and it was different as opposed to before. But, you know, Low-Key was a time where if you could see Low-Key live, you did it, because he was literally right there with Danielson and Daniels. And, I mean, he is, to me, the guy who was responsible for my favorite indie three-way match of all time. So, you know, at least on the indie. So,
right.
Everything.
All right. Doomsday, your thoughts on Low-Key?
Yeah, he was dope. My first exposure to him was in TNA, like early on. When he was doing his thing with Ilik Skipper and all that. He's cool. I love the kicks and all that shit like that. Still kind of wish that he had a little bit of a better deal in WWE when the shit went down with him ended up getting paired up with Michelle McCool and Layla and shit like that. All that bullshit. But he was... Yeah, it was a damn shame, but I liked his second TNA run when he came back with all the full body suit stuff. I thought his work there was actually pretty cool. I didn't watch TNA specifically, but I watched his matches because he was always putting on some good stuff. So I love him. I was surprised at first when I heard that he was gonna retire. I forgot
about that.
Remember that? Like, he was about to retire, and I was like, damn, like, what's he about to do? Do some voice acting or some shit?
Yeah, I know, right?
He was. That was like the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, this dude's about to do some voice acting or something. Like, he must have that shit lined up or whatever. But I guess something didn't fall through and he's back wrestling now. I think he's wrestling for some of the New York promotions, like in New Jersey one. So I think he's Jersey All Pro still. And then, like, does he do a little bit of House of Glory stuff too, I think?
Probably.
Like, I know House of Glory, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does HOG and JAPW and stuff like that. So he's around that area nowadays. But it would be nice to see him more prominently these days, though, because he's still pretty dope, though.
Yeah, that man won the NXT Season 2, I believe, and then, like, not within a year, but maybe after a year, he was gone, and I was like, well,
I don't even think it was a year. He was, like, gone within, like, a few months after.
Yeah, it was really quick. And yeah, I was like, okay, I guess. He just was like, nah, not for me.
Yeah, he said, yeah, because I guess he realized he wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, might as well just, you know, quit while you're ahead, I guess. Seems like he's doing well for himself anyway. So, good on him. Low key. Or Senshi. Or Cavall. Or whatever you want to call him. The Hitman. You know, whatever. Next up is the Evolve champion. This is Timothy Thatcher. And, Dibs, you go first this time. I know you just talked, though.
Yeah, I've seen a handful of his stuff, but from what I've seen, he's a really dope grappler, grappling wrestler. He's definitely very well-rounded in, like, the technical shit. Brutal guy. He's definitely one of those dudes that, like, is in a similar vein to, like, one of the, like, the old school, like, British dudes and stuff like that. Like, that's the aura he kind of portrays to me. But, yeah, he's really cool. I really want to see more of him in the future and stuff like that. He was definitely one. I think he was one of those guys that they that WWE.com had that little feature.
Yes.
From Evolve. Sure. That were the future or whatever and shit like that. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes from there. But definitely, I would love to see him more of his indie work. I just haven't gotten the chance to see a lot of stuff these days, but I think he's a dope wrestler.
Yeah. Tim Thatcher, I keep staring at his tooth. I'm telling myself.
Oh, yeah.
But I keep staring at it. But the guy is serious. He's one of those another serious wrestlers that I just happen to be drawn into because, like, he... At first, when I first saw him, I believe, because I heard he came out of, like, California. He was a Brit that came from California over to CZW. And it seemed like he didn't fit there because he was too much of a mat wrestler.
Yeah.
He was really mat-based, and CZW can't take it. You know, he just can't take it. So
exactly.
I've seen him in Evolve a couple times, and I see how the crowd is drawn to him as a face. And that's when I started getting drawn to him as a face. This guy was really, really good at what he was doing. And I saw him matching Zack Sabre Jr. And it was fantastic. And I believe that was last year. You know, it was really, really, really good. He didn't even have to talk. Like, his eyes and his mannerisms, you know.
Intense.
Yeah, intense. He was really, really good at wrestling. You know. So, Tim Thatcher... Serious dude. I like him. I don't know how he'll work in PWG. Not too sure. But he's good. I like him. Mofo, your thoughts on Tim Thatcher?
Tim Thatcher, just one of those guys in the vein of the European wrestlers, things like that, like he says, super serious and everything. I kind of like him. That style to me is super boring, though. It's just not my cup of tea. The whole, I'm going to work the hands and the fingers and everything. Gabe has a hard on for it, and it's obvious that he does, because that's kind of even how Nigel was, and when he first started. But I never really got into it. That's why Nigel wasn't one of my favorite wrestlers, or Tim Thatcher wasn't. Zack Sabre Jr. I can tolerate, but I wasn't really a huge fan of his. It's just more, eh, you know. But I'm, you know, the thing is, I watch one of his matches. It's just that I'm not gonna go out of my way to watch the Tim Thatcher DVD. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean, because he had to grow on me too, you know. So same thing with Drew Gulak. Like he's not intense in like his facial expressions, but he's also a mat based wrestler. Also, it took me a while to get used to him, you know. But yeah, Tim Thatcher, not a bad wrestler at all. Really tough. Gets beat like they hit his face so many times, man. I'd be like, yo, this man gotta be crying inside. But he's really, really tough. Speaking of tough, this next guy always comes to the States, and when he does, he is loved by all because he kicks just as hard as Loki does. This is Tommy End. Mofo, you go first this time. Your thoughts on Tommy End.
I have not seen Tommy End lately, so couldn't give you real good thoughts on him. Sorry.
All right. Tommy End, when I first saw him, I believe it was... The Best of the Best, a couple of years ago, maybe like 2 years ago, I think. And Tommy End, I like, because he was the tag team. Oh, shit, what was it? I can't remember the tag team name. Some Death Squad or something. And, like I said, serious wrestlers. You know, and he didn't look like he had to talk. And he had that facial expression, not like Timothy Thatcher, a little bit. You know, less violent, but he looked like if you mess with him or if you key his car or break his motorcycle, he's going to kick your face off, you know. And Tim Thatcher, he's going to bite your head off. Tommy End, he can talk a little bit. He doesn't really have to say too much. He's a quick and painless talker. But in the ring, the guy is amazing. So every time you hear Tommy End on an American card, because, you know, he's always in Germany or the UK, something like that. When you see him on an American card, you know he got to be in there with another serious dude. So I think AEW paired him up with Tommaso Ciampa, and in PWG they paired him up with Chris Hero. Like, the guy can strike, and he was in Battle Los Angeles. You know, a believable wrestler. Yeah, about it. Really good. Like, every time he's on a card, it's like, oh shit, they finally got Tommy End here, and he's gonna kick some ass. Doomsday, your thoughts on Tommy End?
I really haven't seen too much of him. From what I've seen, he was dope. Like, he had some, like, awesome kicks and shit like that. I like his moveset, but, I haven't seen, like, too much to, like, really give, like, a in-depth opinion on him. But from what I've seen, he's dope, though.
Yeah, like, he's rarely in the States. Rarely. I mean, a little bit, probably about the same amount as Zack Sabre Jr., because he's barely in the States, too.
Yeah, because Zack Sabre is mostly in Japan.
Right. You know, so...
He ain't even in his home country half the time, either.
Right. You know, but when Tommy End comes to the States, be prepared. That's all I'm going to say. And the last five-star wrestler we have here... Not serious, but really, really fun to watch when he was in his heyday. And I'm talking about the Amazing Red. Or remember the SAT back in the day. The SATs and shit. Guy with red hair, red outfit, all his moves was named after something red, you know. So, and he was a small dude. He had to be about like 5'4", 5'5". Maybe 140 pounds soaking wet. Guy was amazing. Literally. In his name. How you say AJ Styles is phenomenal. Amazing Red was amazing. The guy had that, back in 2002, had that whole, you know, that little fight he had with Loki in the beginning of the match that had people standing up within the first, like, 10 seconds of the match. And even his whole TNA run, you know, he was actually really, really good. Don't let him speak, because I think he's scared to talk. But in the ring, amazing. This guy was doing flips. And then when people hit him or like throw him across the ring, he would sell that thing and damn near flip outside the ring doing it. Love Amazing Red. I watch an Amazing Red match now not as much as I did before. what I'm saying is, like, Amazing Red now, he's kind of, like, a little bit nerfed down. He's still got a little bit of booze, a little bit. But I like the old Amazing Red. Like, that was amazing. I love old Amazing Red. Mofo, you got any thoughts on the Amazing Red?
Dude was super overrated in 2015, but in 2001, when he first came, because he was actually in MCW for a little bit too, blowing motherfuckers' minds. He was the first dude to do a standing shooting star press. He would do corkscrew planchas. Like, Amazing Red was the ultimate high flyer back in the day. Like, all these moves that we kind of take for granted nowadays, he was doing them. And I remember him in the TNA X Division Explosion when it first started. If you could watch the first episodes of TNA, when they basically were just grabbing guys off the indies, yeah. Paul London and, you know, Brian Danielson, everybody, CM Punk, everybody was in there on TNA, but, like, he was one of the guys who impressed a lot of people. Amazing Red was really amazing at that time. It's funny, though, you mentioned the SATs because they, yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
But, even then, the Spanish Fly, man, people love the Spanish Fly.
Right.
But, you know, I thought it was really, that they were definitely, you know, Amazing Red for his time frame was really, really innovative. Very innovative.
Yeah. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on the Amazing Red?
I honestly didn't see a lot of him from back in the day. I'm dead serious. I did not see a lot of him back in the day. I saw, like,
amazing,
like, bits and pieces of him, like every now and then. Like,
did you get the MCW subscription?
No, I didn't get that shit yet.
Okay, yeah, when you get that, try to see if you can check out some of his stuff from 2001.
Really?
Like, I think maybe you'll find the Shane Shamrock Cup or something like that. Yeah, he's definitely on there. It's like 2002, maybe. 2002, yeah. 2003. He's definitely on there. I mean, definitely check him out. Definitely 2002. But check him out because he's really, like, you see the crowd just, they never saw stuff like that before. Like, the standing shooting star press. Like, that's insane.
The infrared, the code red, I think it's maybe like, what, the red alert, or the...
John Cena does a code red.
Red star press.
Yeah.
Like, it was red, air, infrared, I think I've said that, I'm not sure. But my God, this guy just had moves on moves on moves. And he was fast. Really fast, you know, but just him getting hurt, like, he would just pop up and bounce all over the place, man, but he was small enough to do it. Like, he wasn't tall doing it, he was short doing it, you know, but that was like 2002, maybe up to 2005, because he kept getting hurt. He kept getting injured. That kind of slowed him down a little bit. Now he's kind of, like I said, he's nerfed up now. And like he said, overrated in 2015. Yes. But back then, you couldn't tell him nothing. Nothing. All right. So that's it for the show. Unless y'all have something else y'all wanted to talk about.
I have something else. This time last year, I want to give a shout out. This time last year, I was not on the show because about 364 days ago, my daughter was born. So it'll be her birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, Olivia.
Happy birthday. I didn't remember that. you got them December babies, man.
Yeah.
All right. 1 year old. I'll take it. Doomsday, you said something?
Mad Braddix.
Mad Braddix.
I am interested to see him on the indies, man. That guy has some good ideas.
Yeah.
He had another good idea. What was the one he was doing where, it was the buff dudes, two buff dudes or something like that? And they were coming out in just towels or something like that? Like, they actually had some really, really good, ideas.
Much about, dude. I just know he was in WWE. That's it. And I know he was like a general manager, but that's about all I know about Brad Maddox.
The thing is that he was a wrestler in like FCW for like a while. And then when he went up to the main roster, I think he only had like a handful of matches.
and then he ended up being a GM. And but the funny thing about him is that, like, I think he was interviewed, and he basically said, like, yeah, probably if he would have, like, went up to, like, Vince directly or something like that, maybe he would have been given something or whatever, but he
kind of
was a little bit low, lackadaisical about it, and was chilling out and catering and what, collecting checks, collecting them paychecks.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Catering you can get.
But, yeah, like, but the whole prick thing, that shit was funny, though. Like he got fired for calling the fans pricks. That's the funniest thing ever. Like, that's not even, like, considered nowhere near obscene anymore. So I don't even get it, really.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's like, it's dumb. It's dumb. You know, but, hey, you gotta follow the rules, right? Anything else, unless y'all want to plug your stuff?
I guess we'll just plug stuff, Doomsday, 519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, even though I don't post on that shit, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube, that's my main channel. Doomsday Space Gorilla, as spelled in PWG Gorilla, on YouTube as my secondary channel. And my Doomsday 519 on Daily Motion, even though I don't use that shit either. And yeah, that's it. No
problem. Nothing much. At Mofo Magic RNW. If you hit me up on the tweet machine. I think I have a couple of new followers this week, so, you know, I'll be hopefully posting the show every week of what you guys are listening to and, you know, having some fun and everything. And, of course, listen to us every Thursday night on Rant EM Radio, RANTEMRADIO, at 9 p.m. So hopefully 11 p.m., but, you know, you never know.
And, of course, at NMZ Podcast, please hit us up. I'm dying to know if y'all listen.
Yeah, listen to us, please.
Listen to us. Every week we come out with these episodes. You guys, listen to us. You got good knowledge on wrestling. And y'all need to take notes on cotton picking. All right. So, Mofo, thanks for coming, man. It's been a while. And you got some kind words, man?
Yes. Happy birthday to my lovely, lovely daughter, Olivia. Daddy loves you. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, stay live. Not Jod.
See y'all next week.
Great reference.